Welcome along to Parents We've Met. It is the wrap-up, the takeaways from season one. We did a whole season, Jenny. We got there.
It was awesome.
Season one, we had Josh Thompson. He kicked us off well. Sulu Fitzpatrick, Ben Boyce, Joe Robertson, Edu Drent, Kai Ora Tipini, Sean Brown, Heather Hale, and our own Pure today. What a great lineup.
It was such a good lineup and such a treat for us to just listen to their stories and how they do family and catching gems for our own families.
I walked away every episode with a question that sat with me, something I pondered on of, do we have enough adventure in our family? Am I letting my kids take enough risk? What is the season that I'm in right now? What dream am I chasing? I was so honoured to sit with our guests and for them to be so vulnerable and sharing some really hard stuff. And not only hard stuff, but stuff that they're walking through still and figuring out, you know. I think it's pretty amazing to be like, this is what I'm trying to figure out right now and I don't have the answers, but this is what I'm thinking about. This is what I'm leaning towards.
I think we all love that because none of us have everything solved and sorted. So when we hear another parent say, I'm thinking about or I haven't decided, we connect to that because we're figuring stuff out as we do it. And no one's usually been this way before. Even if you've got a second child, you realize that they're different from the first child. And so you're walking a completely different walk with them in your parenting.
Yeah. It was lovely too hearing parents talk about things they did wrong or didn't quite get right and having to say, I'm sorry.
I love that the parents we chatted to didn't feel that they had to have polished and perfect parenting, that there was this natural inclination towards sharing the stuff that they were finding hard or had found hard. And I think the beauty of that is that we connect to parents who are vulnerable and humble enough to say, yeah, I haven't got this area sorted, or I find this hard.
So today we thought we'd have a look at some of the things that have stood out for us, some of the themes, some of the questions that we've pondered. And something that stood out to me was this idea of stepping into the hard of parenting. I think Edu really summed it up well, and he talked on this, you know, in his own life and where they were at. He had to figure out, am I chasing the right dream? Am I climbing the right ladder? And he had to do a whole change, you know, him and his wife, of actually, no, this is not where we're wanting to go as a family. This is not our priority. This isn't what we're valuing right now.
Yeah, I really respect that Edu was prepared to evaluate his parenting and think, you know, my letter's up against this wall and I'm not sure it's the right wall, and I might want to shift the ladder. And that's an enormous upheaval and lots of big decisions have to be made. But I think when we allow our values to come through and then we think, am I living the values that I really want to have in my family? And if we feel like we've drifted, it's not ever too late to reset and to come back to what's really important to us.
Yeah. So something that my husband and I do every Sunday, we have this weekly check-in, and it's just looking at what's sort of coming up, how we can help each other out and support each other to have a smoother week, what's happening for the kids. But it's almost like you need a monthly check-in, you know, a bigger check-in of, as a family, like, where are we going? Are we chasing the right dream right now?
That is a really great concept, Dana, to have that check-in with each other. And I love that you do it weekly, because I think then we leave it too long. We actually can get right off track quite easily. And so when you're refreshing the page fairly regularly, you're going to stick to the things that are important, or you're going to say, actually, we need to do a little bit more of this because it's not working when we're working this hard, or we haven't really had any time for playfulness or fun, or we're not eating together much these days.
Actually, talking about playfulness, Sean, he was such a playful dad, and I loved all the games and things he did. But he talked about, you know, on hard days, getting home and just being like, I don't want to hear about the friendship troubles at school today, which I just love that he shared that, because it was like this real fun, you know, this is what I'm doing. And I found myself going, am I fun enough for my kids? But then for him to share that, it's like we all face that of coming home and being like, how am I going to give my best right now?
Yeah, that was really helpful for parents. And I think that I once listened to a very wise person who would say that they would stop at their gate in the car on their way home. It was a dad. And he would kind of reframe how he was going to be. He dropped sort of the work stuff off and he sort of paused enough to think, right, I'm filling my tank for what's ahead of me, knowing that with three kids, it was probably going to be complaints and tiredness and crankiness and hunger and his wife or partner not being delighted because, you know, maybe she's had the kids for quite a bit of the day. And so pausing sometimes to just check in with ourselves and say, right, I'm now ready, can be one of those little helpful things we do.
I had a boss actually who was highly stressed and his whole family moved over to Waiheke Island so that he would have a ferry ride to get ready. I need the whole ferry ride to prepare myself to, you know, just shake it off. Maybe he's outside, you know, letting that wind blow away the stress of the day.
Yeah. Yeah. We all get cobwebs and I think we do need something to blow away the stuff of the day so that we can be there for our kids and our kids sense if we're there or if we're distracted all the time. And naturally we are going to be distracted some of the time, but kids don't do well when we're distracted all of the time.
Yeah. Yeah. So good. I loved how Zulu said you might not be your best every day. But even if it's just one moment of connection where you show them that you're paying attention or one moment where you're letting them know that you're proud of them, that you love them, then at least for that day, they've received that.
Mm. And that's realistic. We don't notice everything that our kids are doing. We don't notice all the good stuff they're doing as well. But when we set ourselves a little goal, I'm going to notice something about my child that's lovely. I might even write it up on the whiteboard or on the fridge so that they know I've seen.
Mm.
And we keep it realistic. You know, we're not going to write 10 things. We're going to write one thing that we've noticed about our child that we enjoyed and feel good about that.
Mm. And that's where traditions come in as well. I love, you know, here at Parenting Place, we've got the red plate. I grew up with the red plate in my home and now I've got it in our home. And I find even days where my boy's done something that he knows, you know, he's feeling really proud of, he will say, can I have the red plate today? He front puts it and he asks and puts his request in, which is really special.
Mm. We all long to be noticed, to be seen, to be unique. And for others to acknowledge something about us, that's why the red plate's awesome. As is having a list on the fridge or as is a comment that you make in front of your child. But particularly if there's another adult in the room, it's worth about four times as much for you to acknowledge your child in front of another adult.
Mm. Playfulness. I loved talking about playfulness. Mm. It came up in every conversation. And you really talk about how playfulness, it's a circuit breaker.
Mm. It is. Playfulness kind of changes the atmosphere. So when you're being playful, you've changed your kind of normal mode of conduct. Your kids kind of see the twinkle in your eye or the different sound in your voice or the puppet that you're using, and they soften. And so if they were about to fight you on something or resist you on something, all of a sudden they've softened because they've seen a softening in you and they are kind of dragged in beautifully to this moment of fun where the tension is gone and they're doing what they don't want to do because they didn't want to be compliant, but they're doing it, but they're doing it willingly because it's funny. Mm. It's no longer winning and losing. It kind of feels like a win-win.
I loved how Josh in the first episode talked about the daddy bridge.
Yeah.
It's so great. And he kind of said, you know, I'm taking any physical touch as affection.
Yep.
I thought that was wonderful. Also, the picture that Sean painted for us of Miller running into Kindy and him chasing her every morning. Wait, your bag, wait, your bag.
That is beautiful and reminds us that actually it's really small things and you only have to do them two or three times for a child to just click into, we always do this.
Mm.
You know, whether it's you put them to bed in a funny place or you use a silly voice or you always sing a song at night. Children love stuff on repetition. And, yeah, I've got a picture of his daughter running into Kindy now and him chasing her with a school bag and I just think, that's awesome.
I loved actually you talked about your husband and shared that putting to down to sleep and how he'd put the kids in different places. And it's actually great even to, you know, in this podcast, there's been so many ideas given and shared. My husband quite often when he puts the kids into the bath, they do this thing where he'll like try to find the bath and like they'll be hanging over the toilet. Oh, that's the wrong water.
Love it.
He giggles all around the house.
Yeah, and it creates memories and it tells a child that you are enjoying them. You're enjoying their presence, you've got time for them, that even if it's a 5-minute little bit of playfulness, it's just setting them up for this lovely connection to you.
And playfulness, it doesn't come naturally for us all. For me, sometimes I've really felt like I've had to, all right, I'm opening the door and I'm stepping in. Mm. But research shows how good playfulness is for us adults as well.
Yeah, and sometimes one parent kind of owns all the playfulness and the other parent doesn't do any of it. So in coaching, I'll often encourage both parents, have a turn at being playful because your kids will love it. And we shouldn't have sort of fun parent, serious parent who gets all the jobs done. Let's both step into that playfulness and both enjoy the fun and the freedom that it brings.
And I think sometimes finding the thing that you really can connect with. So my boy, he loves doing Lego role play, but it's always the same scenario. It's my birthday and he gives me a pterodactyl or something and I have to do all the little voices and, oh my goodness. And inside sometimes on a hard day, I'm like, ugh. But, you know, I love having a kick around outside with the ball or getting on the trampoline. So sometimes I suppose it's just thinking about what's the thing that's not going to stretch me too much today, but I can get on board.
Yeah. And finding the thing that you like being playful about. Like Lego wouldn't do it for me. But if we had the Play-Doh out or if we were having a pretend race up to the bath or who could make the biggest bubble or stuff like that, I would find that easy to step into. So I do think, like you say, you find what is natural to you and you also step into some things. I mean, you cheat off other parents. You know, one of the things that I think parents love about a parenting course like Toolbox is how many ideas they get for being fun. Mm. Just fun ideas to steal from somebody else and weave into your own family.
Love it. I haven't gone away and bought a yacht. You'll be glad to hear after talking with Joe Robinson.
Neither have I.
Trying to figure out if there's enough adventure. Actually, speaking with Joe and all that she had done, and then Edu and all the different places he'd lived, and there was a lot of adventure and just giving your kids different opportunities. Mm. Even Peel talked about how you don't even need a passport to go on an adventure and give your kids a cultural experience. You can do it around New Zealand and even just with food.
Yeah, there are lots of things at our fingertips if we just have a look around. And whether you're doing a bushwalk and, you know, the adventure is that it's steeper and harder and it's in the rain or, you know, you're at a wild West Coast beach or you're visiting a market that's not your usual shopping place. You know, we sometimes think, oh, that would be amazing if we were on a yacht and we were traveling the world. But actually, a lot of us will think, the things that I do will need to be require less resources and be right at my fingertips or right down the road. And that's great for kids. And, you know, kids are watching our kind of our attitudes towards new experiences. And when we have an openness and a curiosity towards a new experience, it's really good for them. And then it's developing a little bit of resilience in them and a little bit of exposure to new stuff, which is really good for kids.
Ben Boyce talked about this. You know, he's the activities dad and he'd come up with these big things. But then just seeing that both his daughters are so different. And one just their highlight from their holiday was feeding the ducks. Mm. So simple.
Yeah, that's humbling because sometimes we do throw energy into something. And I do say to my lovely husband sometimes when he's got something really good for the grandchildren and he thinks that it's just going to take off and they're a little bit like, oh, yeah, they aren't that taken with it. And I just say to him, hold it lightly because I'm not sure this will take off. Or if it doesn't the first time, it might be three times before they're really keyed into this or it's just not fitting in with their kind of temperament. So parenting is about holding things lightly.
Grief was another theme that came up a lot over the season. Grieving the loss of oneself in parenting. grieving expectations, things not going quite as they planned, and grieving the loss of someone, like Pio talking about his boy or Josh sharing about his and his wife's journey with infertility.
Yeah, I think that grief exists for everybody in some shape or form. And to be able to pause over grief and give ourselves time to honour, for instance, like the one where often you grieve the role that you used to play and now you are playing a different role as a mum or a dad, and you are stepping into a role where there's just less control and order and predictability. You have less achievement ratings. And you often grieve the fact that you have lost a former life.
Mm.
And I think if we don't do grief well, we can carry a quiet resentment for what we are now in. And often we need to talk about that to somebody else, that we're actually struggling with the new because we're still holding on to something that maybe we're going to revisit later. But, yeah, grief is all shapes and sizes.
I know Pio talked about how being involved with Healing Hearts, which was a group that parents that have lost a child, and how that was such a big part of the process of grieving with people that are grieving something similar. I mean, I'm sure that with your coaching, you've talked to many different parents around grieving. Where do you direct them? What's some of the resources that come up quite often?
Well, often I'll direct them, if it's something that they've struggled with for a while, to go and talk to a counsellor about it, just so that they can really feel that they can have someone to unpack it with and take it seriously and not just say, you know, one day I'll get to that. But Skylight have a really rich range of resources for families, and they do resources for children going through, for children and teenagers going through any type of grief or change. So it might be as small as the goldfish dying to losing a sibling or a parent, or a parent is in prison, or something has happened in their life that's been quite big. And a lot of their resources are around stories to read to your kids that help them navigate. It's a story similar to theirs, not their story, so they can take a little bit of relief to hear someone else's story. But in the hearing of it, they're getting a rehearsal and a sense of others get it, because I'm hearing the same sort of feelings being spoken about that I have. At the end of the day, none of us want to be alone in our grief. We want somebody else to walk with us, to hear us out, to empathise with us. And I think that sometimes we subcontract to a place like Skylight for their resources.
It's like what Peel talked about, intelligent aroha.
Mm.
You know, surrounding yourself with people that can actually really talk into that. And he actually did talk about the fact that, you know, sometimes we will deal with that later, you know, and we push it to the side. But he gave us that idea of that beetle on the Cody tree, the base of the Cody tree, and after a while, pow, it falls down, and we can be the same.
Yeah, and that's not honouring to ourselves. And, you know, parents do such an amazing job of parenting. And I'll often ask them, you know, what are you doing for yourself? How are you kind of increasing your bandwidth so that you can manage this job of parenting? What is it that you love doing? Is there time in your life for it? Because we tend to put things like that off and think, one day I'll exercise, you know, one day I'll eat well, one day I'll visit my friends. And, you know, and I think that parenting requires that we take care of the people who are looking after the people, the little people. And so it's not selfish. It's actually a very loving thing to do, to take care of yourself.
Kia ora, Tiffany talked about that, you know, with getting ready for the birth of her daughter and actually putting some boundaries in place to protect that space and protect her, which I thought was such a wise thing to do. Because sometimes we just don't want to, like, upset anyone or we just, oh, we'll just roll with it, it'll be okay. But I think actually drawing a line in the sand, we just need to do that sometimes.
Yeah, I love the gutsiness of the parents we spoke to who are setting things up as a boundary, or we're actually going to do it this way. You know, when Heather spoke about postnatal and said she was ready, if it happened again, she had her team ready. And I think that when we have kind of carved the space for, I will take care of myself if I need to, I have a team of people that I know who I can access, That's a very honouring and loving thing to do for ourselves. And of course, who receives the benefits? Well, every relationship that you have, but particularly your kids.
The art of conversation. Pure brought this up, you know, the fact that in his home growing up, when he'd have to answer the phone, his dad gave him a script and it's like, you're representing our family, you're the first person. I loved that.
Children don't know how to answer the phone, and sometimes we expect that they'll mimic us and, you know, they'll hear our tone of voice. But if you've got a child who's slightly on the shy side and might just want to mumble or might never even want to answer the phone, I think we give them the skills. And you script it for them. I would like you to say, hi, it's Bo here. How can I help? And, you know, they might not take it up the first few times, but, you know, with encouragement, children will step into something new that's a little bit uncomfortable for them. The gift that you're giving them is the ability to connect to somebody else. So children who are never encouraged to step out of that zone will often duck their head when meeting new people and miss out, because people want to meet people and a child wants to connect to others. So I think that when you are just that little bit formal with it, it's a really helpful thing to do for children.
I don't even have a home phone anymore, so I'm thinking that lesson is going to be...
Oh, yeah.
But we did a toy sale. The kids wanted, you know, to get ready for Christmas, and so we did a little toy sale at the end of our drive. And that was another opportunity.
Yeah.
You know, someone pulls up, gets out of the car, hi, we're selling our toys. Have a look.
Yeah.
You know, there are actually a lot of opportunities.
Oh, there are lots of moments. Like, you can be in a shop, and your child would really like to purchase an ice block or something, and you are getting them to make the purchase. And they have to speak loud enough for the person to hear them. So all of those things are giving kids a link to others, an ability to feel good about themselves, and to know that they're capable. And I think we have a tendency to want to do things for our kids because it's quicker, it's easier, it's less embarrassing. But I think leave some space for awkward and let your child, step out and be friendly.
Yeah. I loved in your chat with Sean, you spoke about for a child being heard is the same as being loved. And that really stuck out for me.
Yeah, I just think it is so important for us to give space for children to feel like we've really tapped in to what they've said. Even if we've got lots of solutions and lots of ideas for them, or even if we are in heartache that somebody has, you know, been mean to them, when we can pause and just say, that sounds hard, and we're looking at their eyes and they can tell by our body that we are with them, we're focused in on them, and we've delayed giving them any further help, just guard that moment where you're listening, not solving. And, you know, when you see a child look at you and they know you've got it, it is the same as being loved. And I think all our relationships could do better if we did a bit more listening and a little less telling people what they should do.
Even when you were talking about how to say sorry, another thing that stuck with me, and you said it's, I'm sorry, zip it. Not, I'm sorry, but if you listen to me, or I'm sorry, but, you know, I thought that was really good. And that was a real takeaway. Not just for my relationships with my children, but also my husband.
Yeah, we do love to justify and make sure the person really gets what they got wrong as well. And I think one of the powerlessness things that we probably have to get on with is that we can only own our stuff. I am sorry for saying such and such. Full stop. And you are desperate for them to say their part as well, and it may not come. So learning to own up for our stuff actually creates connections to others. It softens hearts. It builds bridges. And often relationships can be restored that way. And our children are great practice people for this. But it does go a bit further than that. It is with your partner. It is with other people as well.
I suppose too, those little eyes are watching those other relationships. And so it's giving the opportunity for them to witness a healthy disagreement or a healthy I'm sorry.
Yeah. And, you know, it's hard because most of us haven't had very good sorries shown to us. There wasn't a sorry said because, you know, adults were considered that they didn't do things wrong.
Whereas you can't show weakness.
we were afraid, or they were afraid to show weakness or vulnerability. Whereas I think we've stepped into, it is really good to say sorry for something that you've done wrong, because we all mess up, and most of us mess up every day.
Yeah. Which leads me into this idea of not taking offence, which I think was so powerful, and it came out in a lot of our conversations about having a safe place. That, you know, whether it was Peel talking about his home and being able to be a bit cheeky and having some wit, but being respectful and being able to test your humour in a safe place, or Jo with her questions, you know, and in there that she mentioned about the bathroom and how there was vivids, and her and her siblings could write their questions on the wall, that no question was off the table, that they had a safe place that they could put these to their parents.
A safe place for kids is a real security to give them, where they know that nothing is out of bounds. I can talk about this, which means that a parent is sort of going to need to be ready for that time when you're told something alarming about your child and you want to yell or give them the acquisition, you know, and ask lots of questions, and you've just pulled back from that and say, hey, we're going to talk about this. This is a big deal, but we're going to work it out. What a beautiful thing for a child to hear, rather than, what were you thinking? You know, you idiot. And sometimes our alarm just pops out with our tone of voice and our posture. But when children know, this is a place where I can talk, I can ask questions, I can be curious, I can get things wrong, I can know that I'm loved whether I'm good or not. That is, I think that's the ultimate gift to give our children. You are loved, you are safe, no matter what.
I love it. Each chat we've had this season, there has been gold. And if you've listened to maybe one or two, I would so encourage you to go back. Maybe it's someone that you've not heard of. Maybe you're thinking you might not have so much in common with them. But every chat, there was vulnerability, there was lessons shared, there was gold to be taken away, and questions that you sat with after, that you thought, how can I add this to my family? How can I do family life well? We've also loved all your feedback. We've read it all. We've had some great emails, and even on the platforms where you listen to your podcast, we've had some really great feedback. And so we so appreciate you taking the time to share. If you want to give any feedback, you can email us podcast@parentingplace.nz. We will read it all, and we will apply it to season two, which will be coming at you next year. So thank you so much for hanging out on this podcast journey with us, for giving feedback, for listening, for sharing, and being part of the conversation.
Yeah, I just want to say thank you too. I think that you've carved out some time to listen to the podcast. You care deeply about your children. I love that the podcast sort of gave us the invitation to listen to someone without feeling scolded or reprimanded or that we're doing something wrong. I hope that you felt really reassured that the things you are doing well, and that maybe you got one or two new ideas that you thought, yep, I'm gonna put that into my family. So thank you so much for listening.